Hello, citizens, and thank you for tuning in here at AfterBuzz TV. We are covering Man in the High Castle Season 2, Episodes 7 and 8. Spoilers, Hitler's dead, and that's somehow a bad thing.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, I know nobody knows.
We're here.
We are here.
We're talking about it.
Yep.
We're doing it.
All of us. We're finally all together, guys.
Host is, the gang is all here. I'm your host, Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. On Twitter almost exclusively, but I'm not alone. We are full strength, starting to my immediate left.
Yes, Courtney Henderson. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at C-O-U-H-E-N.
And hey, guys, my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D. Lane and Facebook at Carrie Lane Actor.
So, we should be happy. Hitler's dead.
Well,
We should be happy.
We should
that
be.
Is we
true.
Should.
That is
yes.
the key word.
Okay.
Like, in our universe, that's a positive thing.
Yes, it was. It still is.
In our universe.
It's just more the domino effect of what happens after that that you go, oh, crap. Oh.
I mean, I will say there are things I am more upset about than Hitler dying, though.
That's fair.
In this, we will get there, but there's other things that are, you know, more sad to me.
Sure.
Sadder.
A lot went down. Let's jump into some of them.
Sadder.
San Francisco, the regular timeline. I'll call that the normal timeline, which really, I mean, the timeline we don't live in. I didn't confuse anyone, right?
No, regular because our main characters are living in it, so that's regular, and ours could be
ours,
the other.
The host. That's the regular timeline, the timeline we spend most of our time in San Francisco. Frank Fring has a very creepy dream.
Also,
very creepy dream.
It's a nightmare.
It was a bit of a nightmare, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's doesn't seem to care about the Yakuza.
Nope.
Yeah.
Totally secondary.
We thought that, they're an afterthought.
And I think it's because, that he literally lived through such sacrifice that he genuinely doesn't care.
Nope.
If he dies, where he's like, I need to protect as many other humans as possible. That's all he worries about. That's all he cared about. So the fact that he has a debt with the Yakuza doesn't seem to care.
Has the Resistance ever done anything with Yakuza? Have they had any clashes?
You have to believe so.
But
that Yakuza guy was interested in the videos. The films.
So, I mean, maybe Frank's like, whatever, I have bigger things to worry about.
I think that's
Frank's stance.
From what went down.
And he's frustrated that Ed doesn't have a similar viewpoint. I feel like this is kind of the first time in their friendship, relationship, whatever, that this has sort of put them in conflict with each other.
It's been getting rocky.
Yeah.
But this one was, like, the fight.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah. There's been build up to this, but this is kind of the first time they've ever had to cope or deal with, like, hey, let's do this. And it's like, no. Wait, what? You know?
We're not on the same page now. Our bromance is over.
Wait a minute. I did a whole bunch of stuff to get you out.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever.
But now Ed kind of has, like, a new budding bromance.
Yes. With children.
Yes.
You know?
I like that. And also the Ed and Children stuff's been great this whole time.
Yeah,
love Children.
And for them to have like this certain level of like a buddy cop show, with the Yakuza, and then to have like a member of the Kenpeitai let them go.
Yeah, I surprised and not surprised.
Is that the detective that Ed was working with? Okay,
yeah,
that's why I think that's the only reason I felt he let him go.
He knew his fate. Yeah, because. Like, anyone else in the Kenpeitai would have just followed an order. I think it's a matter of humanity.
He knew him as a informant and, I think, as a human being. He's kind of like, I can't
literally...
Just leave.
Just,
before I change my mind.
And heaven forbid, like, he can't stop and he trips over the body, children. Like,
oh, that was funny.
Children, like...
And, like, okay, so...
Because speaking of humanity, I love the humanity in that moment between... Ed and that detective.
Yes.
Which is like, thanks, bro. And then he leaves.
He bails.
And then,
fast.
And then Children is just like, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Like, where it's that certain level of he understands Asian culture, but he did not, or Japanese culture, he did not understand.
Oh, no.
This was not Japanese culture.
No,
don't bring up Japanese culture, or he'll remember he probably should have killed you.
Right. And he'll change his mind and bye.
But maybe that guy also knows that Ed's not going to be someone who's going to run around going, hey, did you know the Kenpachi totally took out the Yakuza? Like, he knows that we're not going to do anything.
Yeah, they're going to lay super low and be really scared about it. And maybe they'll make some fake stuff.
I have to say, as having spent time on sets, not Man in the High Castle, unfortunately, but that moment where he's, like, back, Children's backing up and he, like, trips over the person, that's one of those things I see those moments and I'm like, I bet that just happened. And he just
stayed in here. Usually those moments.
You know what I mean? Like, those kinds of things. Those are some of my favorite things where it's just kind of like, oh, there's a body. bye. Thank you.
Keep rolling.
Yeah. And I love that when they have the I don't know what the word, it's not education, but the smarts, I guess, to keep rolling and not break character, not call cut, and to just use it because
they're in character and they keep going.
You know that they got other shots of it, but that's the one that they chose to put in. Because it probably was the most humane and just kind of that real situation of like, I'm literally, you're tripping over dead bodies to leave, and yet you're still trying to hold the culture.
He spent, Children up until this moment, spent his whole life trying to be something else, essentially.
Yeah.
What we would call not an American. Yeah. But in the world he lives in, that is...
I don't know how much he was doing prior to taking the takeover. But as soon as it happened, he was ready to... But it's kind of like adapting to it. But I mean, he maybe had an interest and fascination beforehand. Like, there's plenty of people here who do. I mean, like, totally into Japanese culture myself or something. I don't know if I'd necessarily be like, no, I want to be Japanese. But in that situation that he's in, it's probably a survival technique, too.
Well, and also, if it were 62, he looks about 40. That would mean he was 20. He was probably early.
So you could have some interest.
He was early 20s when he essentially became a subject.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That you probably only deal with that two different ways.
Yeah.
Well, I guess three. You deal with it his way, you deal with it the rebel way, or you deal with it Ed's way, which is like curmudgeon complacency.
Yeah.
Just keep your head down.
Man, I really don't like that I have to do this. I'm going to go do this.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's three. I think there are three ways to deal with. To deal with any type of, like, rule coming from someone who has a terrible problem with authority. Just in general. Speaking of the authority.
Yeah.
Yes.
Frank, working with the rebels, he finds out that the Japanese are making nuclear bombs.
Making it.
Yeah. I loved that scene.
Oh, when he's walking across, like, the yard.
Yeah.
And he's just staring, and I'm like, shit, turn around.
And they don't. I honestly think he's one of the few people in that environment that really knows what's going on.
Yeah,
he's,
well, because he figured out the badges.
And he's also the only one who saw the film.
Yeah, I guess that's probably why. That makes more sense.
The closer you are to these films, the more you have of an understanding of what is to come.
Sure.
That he saw the film. He saw San Francisco go up, and then he saw himself get shot.
Yep.
And as the viewer, have seen no alteration of that path.
Right.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to assume we're just going to continue to see it move this way.
Right. And without getting too far ahead, it looks like it's only moving more in that direction by the end of episode 8.
Absolutely.
With what happened. So
it's either going to be it's either going to be a curve or two episodes.
It better be a curve.
Or two episodes of our main characters getting out or...
Yeah.
I'll do predictions later. Am I missing anything in modern-day San Francisco without tying into all the Berlin stuff?
I mean,
relationship with Sarah and Frank going on.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well.
I mean, that's a small one, but still. Like,
no, that's going down.
I like their relationship, and now it's her confronting him about, like, I am okay with who I am, and I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he obviously still has issues. But then also at the end, him learning that Juliana is not a traitor the way he thought she was.
That's important.
And that they'll kill her when they're done with her. And then Sarah's present for this going, oh shit, old flame's still around.
Not because she's going to be killed, but...
But Frank's like love was reignited for her. Like, before he's like, I could care less, I hate her. And now he's like, she's been trying to save me.
This whole time.
And she's stronger than both of us.
Although,
a little dramatic, but
speaking of the current reality,
yes,
no one notices the trade minister's gone.
Right? I've wondered that for a while.
Did they send somebody to find them? They're just incompetent? Are they so busy doing the nuclear plot that they literally haven't noticed?
Yeah.
I mean, he was close to, like, no one notices the Trade Minister's gun. Like, there's something to
there should have been, like, at least a comment.
His assistant or the inspector, I think, would have checked in on him. Because the inspector kept bugging him anyway.
Even if it's one throwaway line of, like, oh, that hippy-dippy... Even if it's one throwaway line of, like, I'm glad the Trade Minister hasn't bothered us in a week.
Yeah, right.
One line of just, it leads me, there might be. And I think when it comes to time travel.
Has he caught wind of the, like, does the Trade Minister know? Just, like, something to acknowledge that you don't know what's going on because you haven't had that communication with him.
But he's not there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need you to explain all the time.
Yeah, we get it. It's
a show. The reality jumps to me. I'd rather you not.
Right.
I do just want to know, like, if he leaves for a week, does he leave for a week or does he come back?
Ooh, or is
does
it
he come back in the moment?
Yeah, is it a different time, like, time frame?
That he comes back in the exact moment
maybe
he left?
Maybe they will explain that or acknowledge that next episode.
It's like in The Magicians, and they go to Fillory, and it's like...
Yeah.
Time later,
the second you second you make this happen, there's a bunch of rules, and unless you have Bruce Willis, just be like, man, and then we draw pictures, and it's all weird. You got to explain some rules. He is in our San Francisco,
and
just
we don't
1962.
Know how he actually does it?
No, not at all.
Right.
We talked his power yoga, his yoga and meditating.
Yes. That makes the most sense. He also had a totem. He also had a totem in Juliana's necklace. And I think there's something about Juliana and the films that tie into this reality.
Yeah.
But he's in this reality, and he has a lot of very touching scenes. What I find so interesting about this sequence with him is the last two episodes, he's really been learning that the world, this world he's in, this 1962 he's in and not the 1962 he came from, he's unhappy, but everyone else around him, including, like, the United States of America, is very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I actually didn't recognize that.
But
I thought he was learning to be happy, and I think he's going with it because he wasn't happy where he was. He was alone, and now he's seeing the love around him that he's kind of like, maybe this isn't so bad.
But I think also we got some allusions that we didn't get earlier about how the scope of his anger, that I think the Trade Minister that should be there killed himself before he got there. And that would explain why why he's able to just walk into a life that I wouldn't be shocked if in the next two episodes they find a second Takami.
What was, I think it's the...
Whoa.
That's what I'm thinking.
Second?
Yeah.
They would find a suicided Takami's body.
There's a movie like that where you can take your other yous, and it's like one or something. I want to say it's like Jet Li's one.
Okay, I've developed a theory we're going to get to in about 20 minutes.
But then that's an interesting idea of, like, you could, or that one you could only be there because the other one's not there or something like that.
Or that's where you go.
Or you swap places. We don't know.
That would be weird if just this depressed...
Yeah, it just shows up.
Seriously.
This depressed that he's in the... But it's... When you talk about selflessness and family, which was a constant theme in both of these episodes...
Yeah.
The rest of his family is incredibly happy and loved.
Yeah. Sorry, I just ran a thought. I'm watching episode 7, I think it was. There's a lot of close-ups on people. Like, everybody, all the shots were like, hey, what's up?
Just
right,
like,
on your face. You're like, hi. Or they did, like, the inserts with... Helen's, like, accessories and things. It's just a lot of, like, getting really in people's space.
There was a lot, and I think that's... But I would argue the alternate timeline that we see, there isn't as much of that. But I think that's a conscious choice.
Oh, I think these episodes, absolutely. It hasn't happened till now where I really was like, these are really close.
But that's a color palette and a, like, that's a thematic choice that everything within the Reich and within the Pacific states is shot very close, very regimented.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the 1962, we know.
Yeah.
I'm sure none of us actually know that 1962, but
just
when you get to when you get to our timelines, 1962, everything's a lot more free, a lot more open.
Yeah.
And that includes the shots. Also, shout out to Alexa DeValos, one of my favorite Flower Children. Very loose 60s. I'm digging this Julia a lot.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, I think that's... I was trying to think, like, there's The one thing,
just him bonding with his family, and we kind of talked about last time, we talked about last week, mm-hmm. and more of it, which I like, and I'd like to know your thoughts. It's really refreshing that the trade minister is just going along with it mm-hmm. and observing instead of going, this is wrong, I don't understand, you guys are weird.
That is true.
He asks questions, but he does in a way that you could just wipe it off as like, oh, he's
right,
an old guy.
Which he even yeah. did
and he,
tonight.
He's like, remind me.
Yeah.
Just tell me that story again. That's kind of important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was this incredible line that led to an incredible bit of acting of, I met her at a rally, and he went, protesting your government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in this face of like, that's remarkable. You can protest.
Yes,
like,
right?
Because imagine someone who does not understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being in 1962 America, but grew up in a time where...
Yeah. Impossible.
Wait, like, so... Your government did something you didn't like, and you had the freedom to just be like, nah?
I don't like it.
No, I don't like
what?
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
hello,
and you
democracy.
Don't, and you don't get back to work?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get back to work, or, like, nobody, like, yep. hits you, or, like...
Yeah.
You don't face retribution from that government?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That tiny glimpse.
That yes.
Yep.
That's a good. That was a good moment. You're right. That's a very good moment.
I feel like we're going to see a lot of this alternate reality in the next 2 weeks.
And it's weird that it's only him too.
Yeah.
We talked about that of like why just
minimal. There's minimal conflict.
Could you meet your other self too?
Oh.
We don't know yet.
We need to get a showrunner in here right now. I have so many time travel.
Wait a minute.
I have so many multiverse questions.
Yeah.
Where's Rick and Morty? All those things.
Mm-hmm.
So. Let's jump back to current reality, 1962,
yes.
in New York City. Juliana is with the Smiths.
Yeah.
The Alpenheiben-Fuhrer
yes.
Schmidt. And
mm-hmm.
the doctor who diagnosed Tom and then
yep.
John Smith killed
yep.
him. John Smith gives this incredible eulogy at his funeral.
Which was essentially yeah. all about himself.
I think it was about him...
But it was good.
It's yeah, it was really
like,
good.
Nobody would know it's about him.
Yeah.
But his wife is like, oh my gosh, honey.
Well, his wife always knew. His wife
yeah.
knew for a while.
Oh, no, I know, but she knows that he's talking about them and their family,
mm-hmm.
and that's why she's crying.
Right.
Not because
the doctor's
It's a beautiful
gone.
Speech, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful speech that serves a lot of duality
yeah.
for us,
yeah.
the viewer.
Yes.
And it also, like, seems to be how he legitimizes everything he does.
For the family?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
I'm doing this for the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, like, I think it's become clear to us that this character does not agree with the Reich.
Not 100%. We've talked about that too.
Other than yeah. the Law and Order. He agrees with the Law and
yeah.
Order that I think he agrees that if there's no Reich, if there's no Reich in his world, there's anarchy. But
there does have to be a sense of structure, but
needs,
not necessarily
yeah.
the current structure as
yeah.
it is.
Because you got to remember, as someone his age who did serve in the U.S. Army,
mm-hmm.
he would see democracy and the United States of America as something that failed. As something he believed in as a child, and then fought for it, and it failed. And we were like, oh, I'm a Nazi now.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, but we were wondering,
like, he kept
yeah.
his medal.
Yes.
I mean, like, so it's one of those where, yes, it failed, or that's a good
he
perspective to kind
up.
Of say.
No.
Yeah. You know, that, well, we tried for it, and we lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a different or better way of putting it, where it's like, he might look at it and say, like, we've lost this thing,
mm-hmm.
and now that I've experienced this life as a Nazi, I want that back.
Perhaps.
You know
maybe.
What I mean? Almost
or,
like the grass is greener type.
I could see a certain duality as well, that he believed in the American ideal of selflessness on a world scale. Whereas now, I think he, for better or worse, in the greater Nazi Reich, is selflessness for me and mine, and screw y'all. I don't know. Maybe
well,
I'm all
well,
in here.
I guess, because well, kind of what I'm saying is, it's like, if, heaven forbid,
yeah.
right, the United States was somehow overpowered and
mm-hmm.
made communist, and it was like in our lifetime to where we've seen both now.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean just because we're like, oh, well, democracy failed. Like, that was a crappy idea. Good thing communism came along.
No.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
but you'd see
so
it
I
as...
think for him, it's he kind of teeters that line because it's like, well, yeah, this other thing was better, but it's a non-option.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, mm-hmm. because of, I feel like, a little bit his position and the kind of screw you, it's me and
yeah.
my own kind of a mentality, he's kind of found this line to toe with, how do I keep my family, but not draw attention to the fact that I'm kind of living in my personal democracy.
No, I think
you
that.
Know what I mean?
To a certain extent, and then taking care of mine to a point where I don't agree with the Reich when you say that my son can't live.
And even they also brought up, like, they wouldn't just kill his son, but they'd also kill the other children, because they could also possibly be...
Right, without any symptom or you can't make good babies, like, kind of an attitude.
It's, a certain horror I'm happy to not even understand.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah. Like, scientifically or otherwise, because I think... At that point, even in 1962, I think science would be in a place where it's like, well, that's not a disease you, like, catch. That's a thing you're born with.
Yeah.
That they might know that, but it's a more a matter of, well, nope, that's the whole...
Yeah.
He was a member of that troop. We have to kill the whole troop now.
Yeah. And with on that, there's that conversation Juliana has with the people at the funeral, too, like the guy that Lucy's trying to hook her up with. And he's like, meat flesh? Oh, crap. I wrote it down. But, just being there, and it's just a waste of space, pretty much.
Something eater. An unnecessary eater?
Yeah,
I think that...
And it's a better word than...
A useless eater.
Useless eater. Yes, that was great.
A useless eater, and just their mentality of, yeah, we're putting them out of their misery. Though Lucy didn't seem to be, like, great idea. She was a little bit, like... You know, like, head down, like, yeah, it kind of sucks. But he was like, yep, we just get rid of them.
But
it's
I think
for
that,
their own good.
But in every society, there are concepts like that that I've seen many people talk at length, especially here in Los Angeles, about homeless populations, whereas one side would think, well, you're their problem, I don't care. They should just not be up front of my house. And then the other side is like, well, you should have compassion and come up with solutions. But generally speaking, everyone, there's society has decided that within a certain extent, it's kind of not my personal problem.
Yeah, it's not affecting you.
And you could say that in front of somebody, and they'd have the exact same reaction of, well, it is though. Like, it's kind of everyone's problem, and you should kind of take it on. And like,
But all I'm gonna do is tell you that I'm not actively gonna be involved in this changing of the problem. I'm just gonna kind of acknowledge that. We probably should do something about this.
Yeah.
And then we go on with our lives.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, Bernie Sanders. No, I'm kidding. But, like, the idea of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that in every society. Luckily, our problems aren't that severe.
And
our philosophical debates are usually...
I wonder how much it's going to affect anybody she comes into contact with, where Juliana can say some things that are contrary to what they're used to, and they kind of go... They probably wouldn't even thought of it.
Yeah. For time's sake... What did you guys think about the wife that was gossiping?
I love that.
And, oh, the scene, Helen's like, shut up, that's treason.
Right? Yeah. Just to even suggest it. But it's like, Helen has to... The thing that I thought was so interesting about that was...
Within your own family, it's safe.
Maybe. What do you mean?
Like, you could have said those things within your own family, but as soon as you're saying it outside your circle... Then that's where
what your husband is doing is family business.
Yeah.
It's not... And to say it in front of
and
Julie...
And they're telling a stranger,
literally a stranger.
Yeah.
A literal outsider. Somebody who sought asylum, although that's... They don't know that.
But sorry, you were gonna... Yeah.
Well, so... I feel like, you know, she's implying that, okay, they're using old footage because they can't get new footage. And I kind of felt like she was gonna say something along the lines of, like, he must be ill or this.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like Helen... I don't think it would be treason to acknowledge that, maybe in their perspective, but that would be a good thing for Helen, and, like, there's no need to snap when the reality is the person that is having your son killed for his incompetency is going to die before your son can be killed. Well, you know what I'm saying?
But he's protecting everyone. We're talking about John Smith, or are you talking
about... No, I'm saying...
Hitler.
Because she's saying we had to use archive footage because we can't get new footage of Hitler.
Yeah, yeah.
Something's wrong with Hitler.
Yep.
And why wouldn't that be a good thing to Helen, knowing the state of her son? Because when they talk about it later, and you know, she's like, oh, what about the trip?
Because I think they know the whole Reich.
Just because if Hitler dies, it doesn't change the Reich's opinion on procedures.
Well, not to mention if Hitler, like, they don't have a very good leadership structure.
Clearly,
the Reich does not have a very good leadership structure in the sense that if our president goes, the vice president takes over. If the vice president goes, somebody goes. And, like, even on events like Friday, we have a designated survivor who literally is there to live.
Yeah.
So that they take the job over. The Reich doesn't have such a chain of command.
Which we see.
We see that a lot.
And he's sort of, I mean, I guess we're kind of blurring episodes a little bit, but I thought it was so interesting that this is not the first time that somebody else has kind of had to be privately in command with Hitler's illness, and that he specifically chose Joseph's father to be the one in charge because he's a non-threat. Because whoever it was that took over last time, like, basically wanted Hitler dead so he could be in charge.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so now it's like he's got this target on his back.
Well, because that's not the... Because somebody does have to take over interim power. The only thing is whoever takes over that interim power gets blamed for whatever happens. So it's an interim position. Mm-hmm. But instead of being, like, the head coach of a football team in a transition...
Yeah.
And you just go coach college, you die. That's the difference. That's the difference, and that's where Joe's father is stuck in Berlin. After we get
With his creepy face shot at the end, I think he's happy about it.
No, I think this is all
that's
a part of
that. That's one of those, like, evil laugh moments. He's, like, looking at the camera.
That's a part of... This is all part of the plan look.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I didn't necessarily feel like it was this, like, evil... moment of his, but there was definitely an intended kind of acknowledgement of, like, I needed it and meant for it to happen this way. This is no accident.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt like that was more regarding Joe, maybe, than himself. You know, it's kind of all of it.
I think it's all of it.
I think he, like, told Joe to go back to New York almost in that reverse psychology way where it's like, if I tell him to go, he'll stay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I also...
And I'm pissed about that. When I said there was something more upsetting than Hitler, it was that, because I'm like, you're staying for the girl that is not dead.
But he doesn't know that yet.
No, I know, but it's like, just go back to New York!
So the question is, how's he going to find out?
Well, how's he going to find out?
Smith is the only one who's...
Smith is in on this whole plan.
Yeah.
Geniusly, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love this scene. That he goes in, lies to a prisoner, who gives them all the information, and then kills the prisoner.
Yes. He's like, okay, good training exercise,
so,
guys.
I had, like, stepped away during that scene, and so, like, I turned just as the gunshot went, and so someone was like, is Smith dead? Like, I had one of those, like, panic moments.
What?
Because I was like, wait. Oh. And so, but, of course, we watched it, and I was like, oh. Okay, this makes way more sense.
Juliana from New York tells everyone in San Francisco that this is happening.
Yeah.
She also tells the resistance that this is happening, and only then is she worried that she set in motion what was happening to...
In the films.
In the films.
Yeah, one of those moments that you're like, in trying to prevent it, did I just cause it? And she's
yes.
like, oh no.
Oh no.
And I mean, I kind of think yes.
But...
Maybe not only in that one particular moment, but I definitely think she causes what wasn't supposed to happen in an attempt to prevent it.
If you believe in space time, which would mean that what she saw in that film is irreversible.
Oh, wouldn't matter either way.
It wouldn't matter.
I guess that's true.
It wouldn't matter. Her having that thought would be part of it. Her not having that thought would be part of it.
Right.
What she saw.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I don't know, but
it's fate or destiny,
because there are like seven different theories on this. Like there are seven different scientific theories on multiverse.
Rules.
Well, the science gives you a certain amount of rules in a hypothetical multiverse, and then TV shows and movies tend, and science fiction in general, tend to take their own versions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it could be whatever it wants. If it's well written and we care about the characters, we as the audience won't care.
I just like it though if they establish. You can make up whatever rules you want. But just stick
let
with
us
them.
In on it.
And let me know a little bit because I'm like,
I don't know. I think there's something to be said about the certain.
There will definitely
the
be a reveal.
The certain slow burn
that,
of this show
that this is
says
okay,
to us, this is why we're only finding out now.
Yes.
What, you know what I mean? Like, they've got to explain it at some point to us, you know?
Also, some people point to these two episodes as a clear indicator of the showrunner leaving this show.
Oh.
Because Frank Spotnitz left this show while they were shooting the second season because he had a couple other projects going on. He had just disagreements with the studio. They had a really deep bench of producers. But there's some people who say, like, the questions... Some people say the questions we have are a part of...
his show,
or are part of people taking over his show and then not knowing how to take over the story or the lack of momentum.
Oh,
I'm going to reserve my opinion on that until I see all 10.
Yeah, agreed.
And then the other thing too is a lot of this could spill over into 3 anyways.
Yeah.
Again, it's a very slow burn show.
It's very like a Mad Men level slow burn.
Yeah.
Things take.
It's very engaging. It's very interesting. These characters
far more this season than last season for me.
Agreed.
It definitely has. I mean, I was interested, but it was, I don't know, the cinematography kind of held me along last season into the season, and now I'm actually feeling, like, invested in these characters and in the storyline.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and that can be somewhat true of any first season.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to have a couple episodes to even understand what you're watching.
So, I think we've covered everything. We have 5 minutes to get into what I like to call reckless abandon. They call it here.
Predictions.
And now, I guess those are the major points.
Yes.
I know, I'm like, was there anything else that stood out? That was like, wait.
There was some fun stuff.
I don't know if I like, but I do. I like the power couple of the Smiths.
I do too.
I don't want to like them, but I do.
I like them for
They're just a all the good. We were talking about it, and she's like, but I was like, no, they're like a really strong couple and supportive of each other, and they're powerful in their own ways. But she lied. Ooh, she lied to him. That was a big thing this episode. She lied about Juliana.
That's what I was just
and
say.
Thomas having a seizure. So that was kind of
big. That was big.
Yeah.
Let's do some very general predictions. Thomas, will he survive, and will people find out?
I think they'll be able to get him out of the country, and I don't think people will find out.
The Smiths, do they leave the country, or does John Smith figure out the whole Nazi thing? Figure out the whole...
I don't think Thomas goes anywhere. I think that it becomes a huge conflict between Thomas and his parents, or at least his dad, because now they have to explain why he's no longer selected.
That's
fair. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like this trip,
he was picked. So it's one of those where they can't send him, and so they have to figure out a way to have the real conversation.
You could still go, even if it's not Hitler's youth.
Well, if he goes,
he runs the risk of that other people finding out about the seizures, and he won't allow that.
Yeah.
And I think now that it gets to a point, he might try to write it off as you get exhausted a lot, but I think at a certain point he'll have to level with him.
I know.
Listen, you have a condition. I killed the doctor who diagnosed you with it.
Yeah.
Get over
I don't know, you're gonna work
at desk for the rest of your life.
I don't know that he would say that much, but he's got to explain why he's no longer going on this, like, Hitler's youth excursion.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he goes. That's my prediction
regarding
that.
I don't think he goes
either. And Joe, I definitely think that he finds out about Juliana being alive before she finds out about him being alive.
I think that's Smith's, I think that's Smith's only play at this point.
I mean, that's all he's got, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also... Also, I think Joe is a huge pawn in this because he is a descendant of Hitler.
Is he an active pawn, or do you, I mean, does he know?
He has to know. He's he does know. He's
But I mean, like, we were talking about how willing is he in this Reich?
I think as of now, when he thinks Juliana Kryn died to help him, he thinks he's emboldened because his only loyalty is to her.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be...
That's true. She was the only one straying him from his
He's not going to be loyal to San Francisco or New York or America at all unless he finds out that she's still there.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
Joe Smith's only play. I think his father's play is to be interim leader, say, I screwed up. Hitler died on my watch. But I got Hitler's kid. He happens to be my kid as well. He will take on... he will take
the
you can go to him. There will be no anarchy. There will be no transition. There will be no mess, if you will. So I think that would be...
And that's how Juliana finds out that he, like, what he's up to.
Perhaps.
That would be exciting.
It's like he's, like, announced into power. And somehow then they
she finds out that way.
Yeah.
Do we think Ed, Frank, and the Cranes all leave San Francisco?
I do.
I think Juliana's family does. Mm-mm. I don't know if Ed and Frank...
I think Frank stays.
Frank might stay. Ed might go.
That makes sense.
But I don't know where Frank'd go.
I think Frank is definitely staying.
He's going to stay with the Resistance.
I feel like you would have to make it to the neutral zone, because it's not like the Reich will just take everybody.
No.
Like, Juliana Kryn was an incredible exception.
Right.
I think Frank is going to die. But I also think...
I'm just going to go with Ed dying.
I think Frank is going to die, and he's going to wake up in the alternate 1962.
Ooh, I like that idea.
With Takami, and he's going to figure it out as well. And
will
I think
he
that's
with him.
Yes.
Ooh. But I think the way Juliana was like tied that. In with that, it makes sense that they get or, that circle is
although I think
smaller.
He yeah. I think he's going to wind up in New York so he can interact with a lot of the other New York Berlin characters that have a separate timeline, and I think without explaining it that's how you wind up in the alternate reality is you die
in the
current reality.
Right.
You
Which
die
is
in
our
the,
alternate
the
reality.
You die in the current reality. If you're dead in the alternate reality, you just go to the alternate reality.
Yeah.
And because this is not exclusively science fiction, they have no need to explain how or why to us. It just happened.
I would like to know why.
We would all like to know
not
why.
Not a why, I want to know how.
Because it's TV.
Well, and Frank would make the most sense because he made the necklace that brought the trade minister there.
That's true.
Right.
So whatever mysticism or other
science... He's connected to it.
Yeah.
Which I also like science. Because I've always been Team Juliana and Joe. Mm-hmm. And so this would really conveniently get Frank out of the way for me.
There you
for
go.
Them.
However,
just
do
saying.
Any of us think San Francisco will be spared in this reality?
Yes.
You do? I think no.
Might be something... It might not be, like, leveled.
Mm.
So, spared in the sense of maybe not the atomic bomb goes off, but maybe something else happens.
I think the resistance triggered by Hitler's death will do an armed uprising. They'll get shut down in New York City. And I think the Nazis will nuke the nuke. I think the Nazis will just nuke the nuke in San Francisco and take everything out, ultimately claim the whole West Side, West Side of the United States.
Yeah, I think San Francisco goes away.
I also think
in this reality. Yeah.
I also think the Man in the High Castle is in the neutral zone, and I think it makes a lot more sense why he ran. Because he ran really early in this season.
We were kind of wondering. We're like, why did he bother leaving? Like,
the Man in the High Castle bounced. And left it and burned all the films. So I think he remembered all the films and all the realities and what that meant and realized there was nothing he could do to stop what
right, like
will happen.
You said, the irreversible.
However,
yeah.
If we believe that San Francisco is going to go up, do we think Joe Blake is going to shoot everyone in the head just like he did?
No.
I think that doesn't happen somehow, and I don't... That'll be the funny part. I think he will shoot Frank.
If he encounters Juliana, that might make his, like, wait, not do it.
That makes sense.
These are very not broad predictions anymore.
No, we're getting into it. There's two episodes left. You just gotta jump right in.
You know.
Oh, man. Do you guys have any other predictions at large?
Ooh, no.
Do you think Takami comes back, or does he stay there? He doesn't know how to come back.
I think
he might
does.
Not even try to come back.
I think he does come back. I think that...
Then he'll be like, can I go back again? Like, I want to go back. Or in coming back to the reality that... The show is maybe he'll try to enact change because now he knows what it could be like.
That would be interesting. Although that would also be sad. That would also be sad if he comes back like the day before a nuclear blast and an armed uprising
but
and
then maybe,
a dead
well,
Hitler.
What do you say? He dies. He'll just bounce back.
He doesn't know that though.
No.
No one's. Also, I'm going to be really upset.
Yeah, but if there's a bomb, you don't know you're going to die.
That's fair. I'm going to be really upset if at the end of these ten episodes, so in the next two episodes, we get an old man in the corner like, nah, this is how it works. You die, you go to another universe. There's two universes. One where the Allies win, one where the Allies didn't. And that,
oh, you're saying
if the Man in the High Castle just explains it?
If the Man in the High Castle knows how it works and he just explains it to everybody,
right.
I would not like that. That would...
I don't think they'll
explain it like that. No.
I don't know who for sure, but I think we're going to end this season with probably Frank waking up in the alternate 1962. Okay. Or Joe.
Almost like we see
like
at the
last
end
season.
Of... Yep.
Or Smith. Or Oppenheimer Fuhrer.
So one of the characters.
Yeah.
One of the characters will...
Male characters. Because Juliana's not flopping over to the other side.
No.
Assuming you...
Which actually, she might not like that.
She's pretty strong and powerful, and...
I know, but she's not really ready to be a mom.
I
want children. But then she... Because it was that world, too.
Yeah.
But if you're, like, surprised you have a child, it's a bit more like, whoa, what?
Well, I think there's also...
But would you know?
But I think by putting her in that alternate reality...
Well, the trade minister was all surprised of, like, wait, I have grandchildren and all this stuff.
I think by putting Juliana in that alternate reality, I think you're also...
I think she's not going to be there.
Yeah, I think you're also saying that she's not going there.
Let's go watch it right now.
Okay.
Now that we can.
We can, starting right now.
Yes. Yeah.
You guys want to tweet at us spoiler-free,
yes,
you can reach me at
Keyword.
On Twitter, at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I'm doing Gotham tomorrow, and Suits will be coming back, and I cover Suits here at AfterBuzz TV, and I tweet about all my other stuff fairly regularly.
Sweet. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Cohen, C-O-U-H-E-N, and this is currently my only show.
Oh, well, you got to find another one now.
I know. It's that time.
My name's Carrie Lane. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And then I have Emerald City. Ooh. Right after this, I have Box Office Breakdown, which talks about movies. So if you like movies, you should check that out. Timeless, we still have some episodes left. Vikings on Wednesday, as well as Magicians is starting this week. Incorporated is finishing. Salem is finishing. And The Expanse will be starting soon.
I'm still really cool, even though I only have one show right now, you guys.
I got a lot of... I got
I
a lot
was
of,
insane about... Well, they overlap.
I got a lot of other stuff going on, guys. Thank you, citizens, and good night.
Really busy.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.